One of the great things about reliability engineering is that everything fails. It may take some time, yet it will. And what we concern ourselves with more often than not is those failures that occur before we need them to, before they should. The early failures or failures that occur that take down a line or interrupt operations or cause a catastrophic failure. Types of failures that thwart a customer's ability to use your product. So we're looking at not just the failures themselves, but to some extent, the consequence of those failures. And together, those make up the risk. Of course, there's a probability element to this, but we'll talk about that in due course. Now, there's lots of different kinds of risks. Now, there's not just the risk of failures. There's quality risks and market risks and financial risks and all kinds of other ones. Unfortunately, is that when we have failures of our product or system, we also inflict risks that manifest themselves through those other systems, so financial or business or market. But we also get impacted by a change in the supply chain or our manufacturing process or in our suppliers' abilities to transport the parts to us. Each of those things can provide different manifestations of risk. Let's take a look at what we mean more specifically. So as I mentioned, there's this probability element to it. So what's the chance of this event occurring, adverse event occurring, and then what's the impact of that occurrence? So for us, it's what's the probability of failure, which is should sound very much like what we use as a definition of reliability. We use probability of success. We could equally use probability of failure. But the idea here is that it's not just will it fail, not just the failure rates. It depends on what happens when the failure rate occurs. So it's two elements of the failure modes and effects analysis, if you're familiar with that tool. And it's also commonly called a hazards analysis, where you look at these two elements. So the basic idea is to understand what could go wrong, and then what's the chance of that occurring, and then so what? What happens when that failure occurs? And then it's rank order those and prioritize the ones that have the ones we need to certainly eliminate, like in an FMEA, are the ones that occur very often and have a very serious or catastrophic impact. Whereas it gets into a gray area when it's a very rare event and has a very minor impact if it does occur. So it's what we call risk. And from a reliability point of view, hopefully you can see how it's related to what we do. Now, risks can come from all kinds of different sources. There's technical risks. Will this material work as expected over time or over temperature range or under load or whatever? Is this design appropriate for the use that we expect it to undergo? Will it work in different environments? Will it work in different operations and sequences of operations? So everything from material science to electrical, and mechanical, and software engineering comprise up this technical risk that we're doing. Now, we're constantly making decisions and making trade-offs in order to bring a product to market. And each one of those decisions involves some technical risk. You know, basically what could go wrong is one way to phrase it. But we also have risks with safety. So let's say a failure occurs, or even if it doesn't fail, that we have this opportunity to cause harm. And there's, if you have a heavy product and somebody strains their back while lifting it, it's technically a safety issue. And there's certain steps we can take that would mitigate that, but the risk remains that it's still there. Now, in a previous lesson, I talked about a project manager that was really focused on time to market. Well, the schedule itself can provide all kinds of risks, and also back to reliability. where if our team is rushed or they are forced to make decisions before they have sufficient information concerning reliability, they may be scheduled into making poor decisions, and that affects the reliability for generations or products, you know, for the entire life of the product. We also may not have the resources to buy the appropriate components to make a reliable product and have to go with less expensive, less reliable components. And on down this list. Each one of these sources provides a viable or a meaningful constraint and some amount of risk to the reliability performance of a product. Now, it's not that these things only affect reliability, but they certainly can. So as we're looking at our products, it's common for us, if we're working with the development team, to really focus on the technical risks. And it's really the point of many of our design reviews and tests and evaluations is to look at how well that hardware and software system performs to meet our functions and does that over time. Yet there's plenty of other sources of risk that can impact reliability. So keeping those in mind as you look at your project and your program allows you to address and minimize these different sources of risk. Now, part of the process is, well, you need to understand what risk you're dealing with, you know, and then also to be able to make decisions concerning the risk profile that you're facing. So part of this involves just understanding that it's something you need to manage, and it probably fits under some other part of your program or your organization. So program managers often take on this role of managing the amount of risk for different scenarios or different situations. It might be a team event or a part of the policy of the organization of how you manage risk. Yet as a reliability professional, you probably are going to get involved with some level of either information into these management plan teams, or you're going to be participating in them. So identification is really the first step. If you walk down the line and talk to a handful of your engineers on the team, each one of them will probably give you what they see as the biggest risk to the program and to the program's reliability. The idea, though, is that each one of them will have a view depending on their experience and role in the organization. So an electrical engineer may identify electrical elements, and the software engineer their parts and hardware their parts. Or they might all point to software, which I've seen happen most of the time. But the idea is that individually, we each have our own list, our own top three items that are the biggest risk. And they may have some overlap, but it's pretty rare that there's a lot of overlap in those lists. So tools like FMEA and other tools that help us then to quantify, or not quantify, to catalog the risks and gather those risks all into one area so that we can then rank order them and prioritize what we work on is one way to look at the types of tools that we use. And those are commonly called qualitative risk analysis. And so hazards analysis and FMEA and FMECA are types of tools that allow us then to qualitatively rank order the risks that we're facing with the program. Another set of tools is quantitative. And we may be using reliability block diagrams or fault tree analysis or decision trees to quantify the amount of risk that we're facing. A more sophisticated tool might be a simulation model, say a Petri net or a Markov analysis model. We may be also using a probabilistic risk analysis approach, which uses Bayesian statistics to understand and model the risk profile that we're facing with our programs. One of the major inputs into any of these models, though, is what's the failure rate? So for qualitative risk analysis, it might be just this fails more often than something else, whereas quantitative, we may be looking for the actual failure rates. And so you can see directly how we get involved as reliability professionals. Now, another whole aspect of this is then what do we do about these different risks? is what do we do to mitigate, minimize, or avoid the risk from manifesting itself? Now, there's a couple different approaches, and if we can avoid the cause of the risk actually occurring or minimize the chance that it occurs, that's often our first course of action. Can we make the product inherently safer, for example, or reduce the amount of potential for risk? The other side of this equation is that second element of risk is, well, what happens if a failure occurs or if the risk profile occurs? Well, if we can avoid it from catching on fire, for example, it's often a role of a fuse in an electronic circuit, is that if we're drawing too much current and the fuse trips, it avoids or mitigates the possibility of a fire. Instead, we have just a product or part of the product that's not functioning as expected, which may still be a failure, but it doesn't have the catastrophic potential that having it catch on fire would. So we can minimize or avoid failures from starting, or we can minimize or mitigate the types of failure, the consequences of those failures. And then there's parts of the program is well, what actually is occurring and monitoring what is occurring so that we can map that back to our models and our studies. Did we get this right? And are we going to be surprised by an unknown risk up until this point? If we're not monitoring, it may take us much longer to identify an anomaly that we hadn't considered prior. The other part is control. For those areas that require some monitoring or some measurements and controls, say process control and control charts might be appropriate, but it, well, there's many different ways to impart control on our process or in our supply chain. And we tend to want to monitor and control the areas that have the highest risk. So it's part of an outcome of the risk assessments. So here's just a quick list of tools. There are many others, but everything from brainstorming to affinity to diagrams to fishbone diagrams and the basic quality tools all apply here. There are wonderful tools for us to understand and break out what we perceive as the sources of risk for a particular issue. FMEA and FMECA, it's failure modes, effects, and criticality analysis. I think there's a comma in there somewhere, but the idea is that we're looking at those things and giving extra weight to the things that have catastrophic failures or more serious failure outcomes or criteria than others. Others that are not on here are hazards analysis and probabilistic risk analysis, PRA. But there's a variety of different ways of going about using these tools in your system, and there's many other acronyms that are out there. Be familiar with some of the basics and some of the basic terminology that's used here, but it is appropriate within our programs to identify and understand the risks to the reliability performance in its grandest scheme across our as a part of our role as a reliability professional. So here's a rhetorical question for you to wrap up this lesson. What's the biggest risk to your project? Do you know? In the next section, we'll take a look at life cycle engineering, a little bit more detail than we did when we just introduced it earlier. But there's a few steps in here that we can take a deeper dive into.